That was Kirk Cousins' pregame talk with the teams before they went out there and beat the Buccaneers to take control of the NFC South. They won 31-26. But I would say I should just call him Kirko because he is full Atlanta now, according to his pregame speech.
I mean,
walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Here we go.
He is. Attaboy.
He's something. He really is. He cracks me up because it's. I remember being covering this team for all of Matt Ryan's career, and a lot of people tried to make fun of Matt Ryan at times, and Kirk just takes it to a different level.
Really does.
Swag and surf.
He accepts it.
It's the full embrace. But see,
There's a wholesomeness to it. That's what you like about it. He makes walk into your trap, take over your trap, feel wholesome.
It's 100% who he is, though.
I know. It's genuine.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to respond when he first started. They're like, what? What?
You heard me?
We run fast? What? Okay.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you something. I wish, for his sake, I wish we could play Tampa Bay every week because – I was sitting there with Arch Tiff, and we were waiting. We were actually waiting for Kirk, and I was like, "Hey, I want to look up his numbers real quick." And I want to in week one, or not week one, but week five, when you first the first time the Thursday night game you played Tampa, and I started. Then I had to do math, which made it last a lot longer than I wanted it to.
Yeah, no thanks.
But he in two games against Tampa Bay with the Falcons. Now this is not counting the fact that he's had a lot of success in his career against Tampa Bay, but just with the Falcons, he's 65 of 87 for 785 yards, completing 74.7% of his passes with 8 touchdowns and a pick. That is just in 2 games against Tampa Bay.
He's been special, man.
A blitz happy team. Who does a phenomenal job of disguising it. And they do a phenomenal job of disguising it of where they're coming from when they do it.
Yeah.
He's been, a couple of passes short of flawless, honestly.
Yeah. I got to tell you, man, watching this game yesterday, both of these quarterbacks at times, specifically the second quarter, a little bit of the third quarter, that's before Baker started turning the ball over. And shout out to A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates. But there was a point where both of them were surgical, right? At the same time, almost. And Baker, you looked up, and I think we talked about it in the postgame. I think at one point, Baker was like 13 of 14, and they're running the ball down your throat. They get like, 60 yards in the first quarter on that on the first couple of drives they're able to put together. So there was great quarterback play throughout this. And obviously, Kirk, has been at another level facing Tampa Bay this year. But I think that, when you look at what Kirk is able to do against this team, he kind of relishes getting the blitzes from Todd Bowles, doesn't he? Like, he looks at it. He can read the defense. You see so many times that he yesterday get through his reads, third, fourth, fifth minute. He mentioned Bijan on the touchdown, the receiving touchdown to Bijan, that he was the fifth option as far as that goes. And I think that's awesome that he's able to get through his reads. And shout out to O-line and Caleb McGarry for being able to get him there.
He used the word special before. Here's Coach Raheem Morris on Kirk Cousins Day.
We went and got him for that zone replay run today when he scrambled up the middle. Did a great job. He got a sneak today. I mean, I'm fired up, man, what he's able to do. He's a processor. He's smart. He knows situational ball. He keeps us in the right frame of mind, and that's what he's supposed to do.
Well, when he sat at his press conference as he had, I don't want to say accepted the job, but when he first took the job, he mentioned multiple times elite processor, elite processor, elite processor, had the quarterback position. Because of Todd Bowles.
Mm.
Because Todd Bowles' defense, they're so phenomenal with showing you pressure, but you don't know where it's coming from. They do a good job of pulling this guy and then bringing this guy. They did it on a third down play early in the game. I believe it was third and eight, and It might have been 7-7 or 14-7, Tampa, and you're on their side of the field. And basically the right side, they brought guys from one guy on the left side and would be the B gap, and the other side on the edge. And you just can't pick up everybody. You get confused on who's dropping, who's coming. Bijan did a good job of stepping up in the B gap one, but the edge guy came.
Right.
And you didn't know it. And that's what Kirk does. He's able to process and get out quickly. He made one of the best throws. He made the best throw I've ever seen him make as a Falcon quarterback on that drive put the field goal at the end of the first half,
yep.
where he loops it over the Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was man coverage underneath with safety help up top, and they basically had Darnell bracketed, but he dropped it over Izzy's head.
Yeah, it looked like maybe a cover two look. Not really sure. I had to go back and look at it, but you're right. Heck of a throw, and is able to hit it right before Darnell goes out of bounds, and just that's what he's known for, man. He was doing that all day yesterday at times, and you mentioned Raheem. Got on there and mentioned him using his legs too, which I thought was awesome to see. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts, let's switch gears because I brought him up before the break, and I guess you guys had a lot to say about, crossing the goal line.
Well, I love the way he started. You start the game on the fourth down, right? And Kyle is able to get through a hold, and because they tried to hold him on the play, and it was an easy throw for Kirk, and he walks in the end zone easily. The other one where – Mike, I want you to get to what you saw about the breakdown. There was some odd stuff in the formation and maybe the route concepts in the play. But it's a hell of a throw by Kirk because Kyle is in the middle of – it looked like a Top Gun scene.
Yeah.
where there's one friendly and all these bogeys around Kyle. And he's able to catch the ball.
I was like, where are you going with
this? And fight. But go back and yeah. You guys are at home. Go back and watch the
play.
They're
all converging right there in the middle.
Yeah, it's like he's zigging and they're all zagging. And he's able to break through. And he breaks a tackle at one point in the play. And he got lackadaisical with how he crossed.
Lackadaisical is the word.
Attaboy.
With the way he crossed the goal line, right? Because I think a lot of people say, well, he got lazy. I don't think he got lazy. I think he got comfortable. I think he thought he had done the work.
Can be one and the same, but yeah.
And
sometimes comfort leads to laziness, right? When you don't
you get got. That's how you get got in this league.
I'll be honest. The same thing, and I'm pretty sure it was the same exact spot on the field, happened last year with Antoine Winfield and Desmond Ridder.
No, it was the other side.
Was it the other side? From where I was looking on the film, I thought, okay, that's the exact same thing that happened to Desmond Ridder last year, and it was the exact same player on defense for Tampa. And that's, speaking of which, that's one of the things we haven't even brought up yet, is the fact that Antoine Winfield was on the field with Kalijah Kancey, and a lot of their parts they did not have last time were back for this one, and you still had a great day offensively for Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have the 500 yards passing, but you still had some pretty quality players that were plugged in. But I'm with it. Inside that Kyle Pitts, the throw in the middle of the field, and he finds a seam and obviously stiff arms a guy. I'm trying to focus on that, but at the same time, and I look at what Kyle Pitts did around the goal line, I'm so frustrated. But you mentioned the motion before. They bring Darnell Mooney in motion in the backfield, snap the ball before he gets to Jake Matthews, and he inserts into the line of scrimmage. Now, nothing ended up happening off of it, but I was watching that thinking, okay, maybe that'll pop up either later in this game or later in the year at some point where Mooney is in motion, inserts into the line of scrimmage on pass protection, and then goes out in the flat to the right. So just special all the way around. Both passing plays at Kyle Pitts. I don't want to overlook the fact that the first one was a fourth down, right? It was a fourth down play where you're like, oh, man, I wonder if they convert. This Raheem Moore is trying to make a statement. And then they hit Tampa Bay deep over the top to Kyle Pitts, and he scores the long touchdown on that one and did not, get risky with the ball crossing the goal line.
But, Tiffany, to your point, since Kyle was shut out against New Orleans on the 29th of September, a month ago, 21 catches, two touchdowns, and maybe 400, somewhere around 300-something yards because he's had an 88, a 70, a 65, and a 91. So, I think Kyle Pitts is awoken from whatever.
Kirk Cousins being here.
Well, and I think that's I really go back and you look at his best performances in his career has been with Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins. And it's not just the on the field stuff. It is, I think, the leadership that those guys can bring off the field, over there on the sideline. Hey, man, what are you doing? You got to run that route this way. Like, get it, you know, not being afraid to motivate a guy different way, because we all need different types of motivation.
Speaking of which, the leadership, there was a moment, Wes mentioned it on the broadcast. I'm sure you saw it too, since you were in the booth with those guys, that there was a moment that Raheem sits down next to Kyle Pitts on the bench after that whole snafu at the goal line. And it sounds like they had a conversation. I don't know if you got a chance to witness it, but Wes mentioned the fact that it looked a little animated down there as far as the conversation Raheem was having with Kyle Pitts, and I think that's huge.
Well, this is where your old friend Jerry Gray, Tiff, yes, is so instrumental right, as the assistant head coach.
Yeah.
He also works with the DBs. But Ra was hot on the sideline.
As he should have been.
Jerry Gray has a moment with Ra, and then Raheem goes over, and he sits down on the bench, and Kyle's sitting over there by himself. And there was a conversation. And, you know, if I don't read lips, I'm terrible. I can't read Dylan's lips when he tries to mouth something to me on this other side of the glass. But I can tell you it was animated, but not as animated as people probably thought, because he did calm down when he got over there. But it was exactly what I think Kyle Pitts needed. When he talked to Arch in the post game, he's like, yeah.
Learned a lesson.
Learned a lesson, run through. And Arch is like, that's great, but what happened on the actual play? Like, before you got there, I mean, everything else, because that's what bugs me so much, is we're all going to talk about the play at the goal line, but not the catch he makes in traffic and breaks a tackle.
I wasn't the one that brought up the play at the goal line.
Well, that's the problem, though. It has to be talked about.
You can't compartmentalize it.
That one part, so that's why I was making the joke off of it.
Yeah, you can't compartmentalize. I mean, Kyle Pitt, everything kind of fits under one umbrella, so it was frustrating. But nonetheless, he did have a good day yesterday. Continues to get a larger part of the target shares, too, which we'll touch on throughout today's show.